This is The Inside Story, a program of biblical teaching that we trust will bring insight into God's Word and application to your life today.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to The Inside Story and greetings in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's so good to be together, and we've got a very important series coming up this week, and I'm excited about getting into it with you. Well, I need to confess that I touched on something last week that has really caused the telephone lines to begin burning, and that happens every time the subject comes up. I was dealing with the whole business of Thanksgiving, but you may remember that I commented that the essence, the heart of sin, the beginning of sin, as described in Romans chapter 1, is that although men knew God to be God, they knew Him as God, they didn't worship Him as such or give thanks to Him. Paul says they are without excuse. Chapter 1, verse 21, for although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. And so they became futile in their thinking and so on. We saw the consequences of that. But what lies behind that statement is the bold assertion that they knew God, that everybody who has ever lived has known that there is a God in the heavens who has created us and who holds us responsible to Himself. I don't know about you, but I find people constantly raising the same old question, what about those who have never heard? How can a good God send those who have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ to hell, which it seems that the gospel implies? And the answer is, there are no such people. There are no such people who have never heard about God. Now, they may not have heard about Jesus. They may not even have heard about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They may know nothing of the Jewish or the Christian scriptures. But the Bible says there is nobody who has ever lived who doesn't know enough about God to begin to respond to Him. Well, people just stumble over that every time it comes up. They say, that is not what I've been taught in school. In fact, I've been taught the very opposite. I don't know what your education was like, but I've had courses in sociology and anthropology which have said essentially that people began with superstition and fear. They looked around at a world that they didn't understand. They were facing forces that they couldn't control, and out of that they began to practice primitive religion, form of magic and superstition in an attempt to placate these fearful powers out there. Centuries and eons later, that evolved into a kind of a spiritism or an animism, which sees everything, trees, brooks, stones, thunder, lightning, peopled by spirits. And then again, centuries and eons later, that evolves into polytheism and finally monotheism. Has that been the kind of education that you've had? Well, it's so different, isn't it, from what Scripture says? Scripture says we began with the knowledge of God and we fell away from it, or better, more properly than that, we turned our backs on it. We deliberately chose to worship the creature rather than the Creator. And because of that, Paul goes on to say, claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man or birds or animals or reptiles. That rather than moving up from polytheism and idolatry, finally to monotheism, rather than doing that, Scripture says it's the other way around. Men began with the knowledge of the true God, turned their backs on it, and fell into polytheism and idolatry. Well, the question is, what's the evidence to support all of this? I'm going to ask you to put on your thinking cap this morning. It's pretty early in the morning, but I think that that question deserves a rigorous answer. And when you see what the truth of the matter is, you're going to have an answer to the folks who say, what about those who have never heard? I have a friend by the name of Bishop William Rukirandi, who is here from Uganda. And he is studying this very subject at the present time. He shared with me a paper that he's recently written. Let me read you a couple of quotes from it. Professor John Mbiti has studied 300 African tribes, and his desire was to find out what those peoples believed before the preaching of the gospel by the church missionaries. Here's his conclusion. Quote, in all these societies, without a single exception, people have a notion of God as the supreme being. Without a single exception. Now, yes, there is the worship of many gods in some places. Yes, there is spiritism and animism and so on. But behind all of that, there is the one true God. The Aiken, he quotes, as attempting to express who this God is when they praise him as he who is there now from ancient times. The Tonga refer to him simply as the Ancient of Days. The Ngoni call him the beginning of all things and the greatest of all. The Nuba say that there is nothing higher than God. Indeed, the sky seems to invite people to gaze into it because the invisible God is above or higher than all. A number of African peoples think of God as self-existent and preeminent. The Zulu name for God is he who is of himself. He who came of himself into being. Lugbara say, we do not know what God is like. He is everywhere, in the wind and in the sky. The Pygmies' hymn is this. In the beginning was God. Today is God. Tomorrow will be God. Who can make an image of God? He has no body. He is as a word which comes out of your mouth. That word, it is no more. It is past, and yet it lives. So is God. And on I could go on with quote after quote after quote. 300 African tribes, not a single exception to the rule that behind whatever other things they have in their worldview, there's a sense of the high creator God. Robert Brough wrote a book called Religion, simply Religion, published by InterVarsity Press, and he says this, after 80 years of intensive archaeological and comparative religion studies, the theory of the upward evolution of religion has to be restated. The truth of the matter is that the religion of hundreds of isolated tribes in the world today is not their original religion. The tribes have a memory of a high God, a creator, father, God, who is no longer worshipped because he is not feared. You see, if men have turned their backs on God, if there really has been a fall, if there has been deliberate sin and rebellion, so that we have pushed God away from us, you remember that Adam and Eve wanted to hide from God when they realized that they had sinned. If that in fact has happened, then the reality of that high God becomes more and more distant. And men begin turning instead to forces closer at hand. It's not an evolution upward, it's a devolution downward. And this, though it isn't popularly taught, is increasingly the opinion of secular anthropologists, sociologists, cultural scientists. The facts support the Bible. John B. Noss wrote a book called Man's Religions. It's published by the Macmillan Company. It's one of the basic texts that is used everywhere that comparative religion is taught. And he says this, it is common to find among many primitive groups a recognition of the existence of a God far up in the sky or at great remove who has made everything, man, earth, sea, and sky, and who at a distance sees all that goes on among men. But though he sometimes disapproves of what he sees, he doesn't often interfere. He says a dispute has arisen among anthropologists as to whether this high God has the religious significance of the nearer spirit powers of the earth, and the prevailing opinion is rather negative. Primitive men have not had to be concerned daily about the high God. He is supreme and uncreated, existing from the beginning, but other spirits are much more active as determiners of destiny down on the earth. Or so people think. Or so people have come to think. They've fallen away from the true God. They've turned to gods of their own devising. They've made idols of stone and wood and metal. They've worshipped things of their imagination. They've turned to powers closer at hand, which they think that they can placate through offerings and sacrifices and rituals and incantations and magic. And so they've become futile in their thinking. Their senseless minds are darkened. And they've begun an unhappy spiral into all manner of sin. But even where that's happened, even among the most primitive, the so-called most primitive peoples, even among the most savage peoples, there is consistently that memory of truth. God has not left himself without a witness. When Paul and Barnabas came to the city of Lystra, this is what they said. In past generations, God allowed all the nations to walk in their own ways, yet he did not leave himself without witness. For he did good and gave you from heaven rains and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. God allowed men to walk in darkness, but he has never left himself without a witness. There is no one who hasn't heard enough about God to begin to respond to him. And that's the inside story